screen?
Yep.
Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 139, 2 and 3. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Psalm 139, 2 and 3. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Psalms 33:13 through 15. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Psalms 33:13 through 15. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given to us this magnificent book, the Bible, the inspired Word of God. He's given to us the means by which we can be in harmony and fellowship with Him. We call that the grace system of comprehension, which means that God gives us the opportunity to be in harmony and fellowship with Christ, and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that we are in right relationship with our Lord and ready to receive what God has to offer. We're going to help John get settled down here in a moment. Take just a few moments. Get him in order. I'm glad that I can pick on John, because when John's moving around, we're going to get him quiet and get everything settled down so that we don't have a lot of movement, no talking, no disturbing. Now, do you need to get back to your laptop? If you do, move on back to your laptop. Isn't it wonderful to have John here? As someone said, what we need around our church is more Johns. Some of you caught that, some of you didn't. John, I don't think I've ever seen you blush so much. All right, thank you. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. We're thankful, Father, for the wonderful time that we can have together when we come for this specific purpose to open our minds and hearts to the Word of God. How fantastic this is for us. We have before us today the Bible. It's been opened. We have eyes that you've given us that we can see. We have ears with which we can hear. We have a mind with which we can comprehend. And so we pray that in these moments that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, that we'll be able to take the things we learn and make application of these beautiful truths. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelation chapter 3, we have an emphasis on the seven churches of Asia Minor. We're studying now the church at Philadelphia. That begins with Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. It goes down through verse 13. Let me read those verses for you, please. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one was shut, who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. Verse 10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of the tribulation testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. On the screen, you see Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, which is our verse now. You will also see that we have numbers here, 1 through 10, which simply means that in this verse of Scripture, there's an emphasis upon 10 different major words that are verbs. We did not pick out the nouns and adjectives and particles and articles. We only selected here the verbs to let you see how fantastic this one verse is in relationship to the words that are the verbs of the passage. Most of us are aware of the fact that there's a difference between a noun and an adjective and a verb. A verb is the action word. And I picked out the action words here to let you see how fantastic this verse of Scripture is. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, the ones calling themselves Jews, and they are not, but they lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and they shall know that I have loved you, which is so fantastic. And I think for a few moments I need to reiterate and let you see how fantastic this whole passage is. We've said oftentimes that there's no difference between our understanding oftentimes when we analyze particular passages of Scripture. We need to be able to see what the verbs are and what the passage is saying. And here we find that the Spirit of God is using John out there on the Isle of Patmos, this time writing to the church at Philadelphia. And he's referring to the synagogue of Satan, those Jews who are unsaved. I think for a few moments I need, especially for those of you who are new here today, just to review for a few moments the timeline that we have now on the screen for you to see. You and I are living in a fantastic period of time in history. We're living between the time of Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture or the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand. This is known as the age of grace, the church age. And so I wanted you to understand that this is a fantastic time for us to be alive. It is a beautiful time because it is a time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God moved us into His wonderful family. That simply means that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. One of these days we're going to leave this life either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. If we leave this life by means of physical death, it simply means that we'll breathe our last breath, the heart will beat its last time, and we will cease to exist on the earth. Does not mean that there is a cessation of life, because when we came on the scene, we were born physically alive and spiritually dead. We discover that Adam and Eve, back there in the garden, accepted God's plan of that complete covering when the animal was slain. And as a result of that, they became trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, even though there was a part of them that was still affected by that depravity. And that simply means that they lived on as life, but also as a person with an old sinful nature. When you and I were born physically alive and spiritually dead. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we were moved from dichotomous, body and soul, to trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And we have today the wonderful opportunity to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we discover then, and I point this on the screen, we live in this magnificent time that's called the intercalated period. or the time of the intercalation, or the period of the insertion of the age of grace into this age of Israel. The age of Israel is not completed yet, but it will be consummated at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And those 7 years of tribulation will come after the resurrection of the body of Christ, or the rapture. When we're taken out of this life, we will, of course, be with our Lord. We will face some things. There is the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. These are experiences which will take place with us as born-again believers, having gone up with the Lord at the time of the rapture. Then we discover that Jesus Christ will come back to the earth, which is known as the second advent. He brings his followers back to the earth to establish the reign and rule for 1,000 years. The only reason why I'm doing this is for sake of review for all of you, and especially for those of you who are visiting with us at this time. We discover then that here's the 7 years of tribulation. We have the Battle of Armageddon that comes at the close of that tribulation period. And then we have the 1,000 years of millennium. We have the Gog Magog revolution. And we've already said many times that the millennium is sandwiched in between two major wars, which is the Battle of Armageddon on the one hand and the Gog Magog revolution on the other hand. And then there is the great white throne judgment. It's interesting to me to be able to see that there's an emphasis in the scripture on the Jews. And in our verse of scripture today, which is Revelation 3:9, we have an emphasis here upon, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, the ones calling themselves Jews. And so that causes us to stop now. And in this session, we're going to be analyzing these Jews. These are Jews that are presented here in Revelation 3:9, having not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but emphasizing the fact that when any person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, that things change, there's a difference in their life. And so that's going to help us now to be able to see that the Jews fall into three particular groups. Let's look at these for a few moments. First of all, people who were born to a Jewish family, regardless of whether or not they follow the particular Jewish religion. So I want you to put in your mind so that you can see the three particular groups in relationship to the Jews. The first one, people who were born to a Jewish family, regardless of whether or not they follow the religion. The second group that you see on the screen is those who have some Jewish ancestral background or lineage. And so that's another group. And then the third one you see on the screen, people who have no Jewish background, have no Jewish lineage, who have converted to Judaism and are followers of that religion. So I wanted you to get these thoughts in your mind, and we'll be able to see that that's an emphasis on the three different types of Jews. This is looking from a worldview, looking from the attitude of individuals, not specifically looking at it from a biblical standpoint, but just looking at it from a general standpoint. Let me see if I can recapitulate for a moment, because I want you to get this in mind first. People who were born to a Jewish family, regardless of whether or not they follow the religion. Secondly, those who have some Jewish background, ancestral background, or lineage. And then people who have no Jewish background or lineage, who have converted to Judaism and are followers of religion. Now, please notice that we're going to look at this more from a biblical standpoint now. There are Jews that we call racial Jews. They're born from the family of Abraham. We'll talk about that in a few moments. There's a second group called, we would classify as religious, and then the third group, regenerate. So we have racial Jews, religious Jews, regenerate Jews. And these regenerate Jews are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I think it's important for us to take a little view, an overview of Judaism. And so we're going to do that for just a few moments before we get into the specifics of what we have in the Bible about the Jews in relationship to Romans chapter 9. Number one, The emphasis on Judaism is that it is a monotheistic faith. Monotheistic means one God. Two, basic laws and tenets derived from the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. Three, it emphasizes that all people are to do what is just and merciful. We're talking about the concepts and attitude of Judaism. Number five, they serve God by study, prayer, and by the observance of the commandments set forth in the Torah. We're talking about Judaism from a general standpoint. Number six, they say that it is by deeds, not creeds, that the world is judged. And so those are 6 points. You don't have to take those down. We're just looking at it very rapidly. Number seven, Judaism is not an active missionary religion. Number eight, Jewish sacred writings consist of the books of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And I'm going rapidly, as I said. Number nine, following the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD, Jewish religious scholars in the land of Israel compiled the 6 volumes of the Mishnah in order to record and preserve the canon of Jewish religious legislation, laws, and customs. I realize that I'm going rapidly, but I just want you to get a mental picture of Judaism. Number 10, during the next 5 centuries, this was supplemented by the Gemara, by rabbinical scholars in the land and in Babylon. The Mishnah and the Gemara from the Talmud. Now, I realize that you're not getting all that, but that's okay, because I wanted you to go with me now to the emphasis in Romans chapter 9. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. In this magnificent scripture, it says, all Israel is not Israel. And we're going to be looking at that as we turn in our Bibles to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to give you time to find it, and we're going to analyze what's in this magnificent 9th chapter of the book of Romans. I have it in hand now, and so let me begin to read verse 6 of Romans chapter 9. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman believers. Please follow me carefully. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. We'll pause for a few moments and let you look at that. And I think that I need to remind you again of the timeline. I'm going to put this on the screen to remind you again that we have an emphasis here upon the age of the Gentiles, and then look at this, the age of Israel. Of course, this, of course, begins with Genesis chapter 12, with an emphasis upon Abraham. So if you want to write that down, you can do that. We have an emphasis on the age of the Gentiles for approximately 2,000 years. Then the age of Israel, which was cut short, as you probably realize, cut short by 7 years. The 7 years will consummate and end by the tribulation period. And so inserted into this age of Israel is where we are now. This is the church age inserted. And so what we are trying to emphasize here is that in Romans chapter 9, it says, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. And that takes us back, of course. So it tells us then that God had a plan for the Jews. God had a plan for them to be the disseminators of the Word of God. And we all understand that they failed. As a result of their failure, then some other things began to take place. And that simply means that the church age began, and you and I are responsible now for the communication of the gospel during this fantastic time. All Israel is not Israel. Many are Jews by race, but not by grace. Now, you might want to write that down somewhere because it's very important. Many are Jews by race, but not by grace. Israel has a racial heritage, beginning with Abraham. I've just said that in Genesis chapter 12. But also I need to point out the fact that Israel has a spiritual heritage. And this goes back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so let's just stop there for a few moments and go back to our Romans passage. It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 7, neither are they all children, because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. Now, most of you have a background, of a biblical background, and you understand that there's an emphasis in the Scripture on the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, the line from which Jesus Christ would eventually come on the scene. What's also interesting to me is, and you all know this, that Satan did his very best to shoot at that line all through the centuries of time. He wanted to do what he could to destroy the line from which Jesus Christ would be born. And he wasn't successful. You can go to the book of Matthew. You can go to the book of Luke. You can find that Jesus Christ came on the scene. Most of you know this, but let me reiterate for a few moments. When the Lord Jesus Christ, deity too, left heaven's glory and came down to the earth as the God-man, we discover that he came on the scene differently than anyone else has ever come on the scene. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, conceived of a virgin, born of a virgin. So we discover then that Jesus Christ did not have an old sinful nature. He did not have depravity. We find that every other individual born, you were born with a daddy and a mother, and the old sin nature was passed to you from your dad. Not from your mother, but from your dad. Had the old sin nature been passed on to you from your mother, then that would be saying that the mother of Jesus, which was the human instrument, Mary, would have passed on to Jesus the old sinful nature, which he didn't do. So we find that the Scripture says, this is beautiful. Joseph, don't be alarmed. I want you to understand that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brought about the fertilization and brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ did not have the old sinful nature passed on to him. We all do, but he did not. So we discover then that there's an emphasis all the way back to Abraham. There's a line from which Jesus Christ would be born. And so let's look at it again. Israel has a racial heritage beginning with Abraham. But Israel has a spiritual heritage, and it's revealed in Genesis 15, 6. It says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Abraham, there are two great areas. Let's look at these. One is the physical descent. Now, I don't want to let you think that I'm being disrespectful when I take it from Abraham to Abe. I'm just trying to use a little less space on my typing here. One is the physical descent. Abe is the father of a lot of Arab tribes, beginning the Jewish race. You following this? The other is a spiritual descent, the pattern of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the negative adverb that we find in our verse of Scripture in Revelation 3:9 is a negative adverb describing those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So I just want you to understand what is being presented here in our verse of Scripture. So the negative adverb, uk, in Revelation 3:9 describes those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They are of the physical heritage of Abe, but not the spiritual heritage of Abe. Now, what I decided I would do is just let you look at this and let me give you a little rundown. This means that I can do this very rapidly, but let's go back and look at the emphasis on the various aspects in relationship to the three facets in relationship to the Jews. If you'll be looking at this while I'm giving you the information, I think it's up there where you can see it. Let me just give you points seven. Number one, Israel, that we've just read in the Scripture, is the focus of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 is talking about these Jews. In fact, when you read Romans 9, 6 through 12, you will discover that the Jews were very proud individuals. Now, let me go back and read this. It says, and you'll follow along now again with verse 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God. Now, what does that mean? Not the children of the flesh. That's, of course, of the fleshly seed of Abraham. But the children of promise. They're the ones regarded as the descendants. See the difference? All right. For this is a word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. No, you caught that, didn't you? God is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Okay? I'm letting you think about it. Verse 8 again. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that the God's purpose according to his choice might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said of her, the older will serve the younger. Just as is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. When you go to the New Testament, you will discover that very scripture being quoted. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. What shall we say then? There's no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. Now, let me just go right quickly through these points. As a nation, the Jews failed. I've already pointed that out. So, number two. This is Roman number two. Being blood kin to Abraham, their pride blinded them and caused them to a false security of sonship based on kinship. Now, I tried to analyze this in various ways of how I could give this to you, and this is a better way, I think, for you to see it. Now, Roman number two, being blood kin to Abraham, these Jews' pride blinded them and caused them to have false security of sonship based on kinship. Now, the Apostle Paul is a converted Jew, knew the only way. It was faith alone and Christ alone. Now, Roman number three. God has not changed his plan. For the Jew or for the Gentile, God has not changed his plan in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Please get that in your thinking. In other words, number three, Roman number three, God has not changed his plan. Number four, Roman number four, God's choice has never been based on physical descent. Romans 9, 6, I just read it. Did the bloodline back to Abe ensure a right standing with God? And the answer is no. Abraham, verse 7 of Romans 9, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. I went on in my description here. Abe had two sons. One by Hagar. You know that story, don't you? She could not have children, and so it was suggested that she go ahead and take the handmaid, the Egyptian slave woman, and have a baby, and she had a baby, and it was Ishmael. There's where the trouble started. But anyway, and then also from his own loins came Isaac. So we have flesh on the one hand, and we have faith on the other hand, if you're following along. That's found in Romans 9, 8, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. When you go to Romans 9, 9, it takes us back not to Genesis 12, it takes us not back to Genesis chapter 15, but it takes us back to chapter 17. Okay, open your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 17. This is so fantastic. We're not going to have time to deal with this in great length, but let you look at it, please. In Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to be letting you look, first of all, at the last verse of chapter 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Now, in between verse 16 of Genesis chapter 16 and the first verse of Genesis chapter 17, we have what is known, and we don't have time to discuss this, we have what is known as 13 silent years. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 17. Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I'm God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you. I will multiply your seed exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, or Abram, and God talked with him. For me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Then look at Genesis 17:5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Now, I had fun with this, and when I looked at this, I saw Abe at 99 years of age. I saw Sarah at 89 years of age. I saw Ishmael at 13 years of age. It's not time for them to paint the nursery. Now, some of you are going to pick up on that. Let me repeat for you who are dull. Abe is 99 years of age. Sarah is 89 years of age. Ishmael is 13 years of age. It's not time to paint the nursery. But God said in Genesis 17, I just read it to you, I will multiply you. Now stay with me. If you go down to verse 11 of Genesis 17, it says, be circumcised, which is a sign of covenant. A miracle child will be born. It speaks of another miracle child to be born. We remember that Isaac came on the scene, and all of us understand that his name means laughter. We've had that story many times. Then we understand that Isaac marries Rebecca in Genesis 24:67. We understand that twins were born in Genesis chapter 25. Listen now. Two nations in the womb. Jacob, a peaceful man. Jacob's name changed to Israel. We all know that. Jacob and Esau, someone said they were womb mates. Genesis chapter 35, verse 10. The Jews were proud of who they thought they were. Jews were also proud of what they thought they could do for God. I want you to see what I'm trying to present. A person who is a racial Jew, bloodline, a person who is not necessarily the bloodline, but chooses to be a participant of Jewish ideas and concepts. But look at the third one. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why this verse of Scripture says all Israel is not Israel. Do you follow what that means? All Israel is not Israel. What I'm trying to present to you today, and this is very, very, very important, is that Israel has a racial heritage beginning back with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. But the most important thing that I can say is Israel has a spiritual heritage, emphasizing Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The whole emphasis is, to anyone today, no matter what their religious background is, no matter what their concepts and ideas are, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So there's no other way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You see how fantastic this all is? And what I want to say to you is, you're a wonderful group, and you've listened attentively and carefully. And I want you to know that God cares and loves each one of us and has a specific plan and purpose for each life. You're not here as an accident. God has put you on this scene. You're alive today because God has for you a plan and a purpose for your existence. Don't take your existence as an accident. God wants you here, and God desires that you love Him and know Him and follow Him so that you can have a radiant, fulfilled, triumphant, victorious life. And then when you breathe your last breath, you'll be absent from the body, and you'll be in the Lord's presence forever and forever and forever. That doesn't come by joining a church. That doesn't come by trying to be good. That doesn't come by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. That comes when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time together and the wonderful scriptures which we've been able to view today. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and His willingness to leave heaven's glory, come down here as the God-man, go to the cross to bear our sins in His own body on the tree. We thank You for the provisions of grace. We thank You that You love us and that You promise in Your Word that You would never leave us nor forsake us. For those who hear this message by way of the internet, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may this be the very moment that they'll do just that. We thank You so much that You're still in the saving business, and You will save anyone who will trust You. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.